So I'll be talking about the use of the virtual patient technology to improve drug safety here, and I'll show a personalized medicine test case. We will be very briefly mentioning the problem, which is that research on intracellular interactions, on molecular interactions, does not suffice for forecasting patient response. And the solution that I offer, and actually has been mentioned already this morning, is that biomathematics is the mechanism for relating molecular changes to their effect on the patient as a whole. And the method we use is the construction of a virtual patient or a virtual patient population. A population of virtual patients. I'll briefly mention the validation of this technology, and here I'll talk about safety validation and the use of this technology, which is in drug development, in treatment personalization, in identification of new response biomarkers. And here I'll very briefly mention the treatment personalization case study. So by now I think it's famous, a famous Fortune 204 issue actually, why we are losing the war on cancer, and amongst other reasons, because our research focuses on individual cellular mechanisms to the near exclusion of what's happening on the organism as a whole. And I would say here to this audience that predicting drug safety can be enabled only by predicting the effects of short-term interactions on the safety of the patient in the long term. And that this relation of long-term interactive effects of drug on cells and tissues, the relation between that to the long-term effect on the phenotype of the patient is enabled by studying the dynamic processes that relate these two levels of organization, and the tool, the mechanism to study dynamic processes is a biomathematics. So really, in a nutshell, the virtual patient technology, let's navigate quickly through it, starting from left and going to the right. So on the left panel, you see just a sketch of our pharmacokinetics and pharmacodynamics modeling. So this would be elaborate but classical approach to mathematical modeling of PK and PD using available information. Those PK-PD mathematical models are then integrated into the disease models, into the mathematical model of the dynamics of the disease processes, as well as the mathematical models of the physiological processes that are affected by the drug or drug combination in question. And when we talk about that, in our virtual patient arsenal, we have only for solid tumor diseases, we have about 15 disease models for renal cell carcinoma, for example, colon cancer, breast cancer, lung, etc. Each of these models is a comprehensive model that operates on multi-scale modeling from the molecular through the tissue level. So, for example, this is a model of the vascular tumor growth. So in green, you see the molecular interactions that are modeled. In apricot color, you see the cellular interactions, and in gray, the tissues that are modeled within this vascular tumor model. most important of all is actually the dynamic interactions between the different levels of organization, here symbolized by the arrows. So the interaction of molecules with cells and cells with the whole tissue, and it is highly important because, as you know, biological systems are characterized first and foremost by many feedback effects. So you may ask, why are we interested in integrating our pharmacokinetic and pharmacodynamic model into this kind of mathematical model for the disease process, for example? Well, the answer is very clear, because the PK/PD models can predict short-range effect of drugs. But if you are interested, and we are interested, in the long-term effect, then we are very interested in these feedback loops that operate within the biological systems. For example, a drug we studied, which was a conventional cytotoxic drug that kills tumor cells. So you escalate the dose and you increase the cell kill, as you know. But actually, above a certain level, when you increase the dose, you cause higher toxicity, higher short-range toxicity to tumor cells. But this toxicity in the tumor tissue creates such necrosis as to affect hypoxia so as to be above a threshold that stimulates very vigorous angiogenesis. And this vigorous angiogenesis in the long range means a higher tumor growth. So actually, the effect, the cytotoxic effect of the drug resulted in a higher tumor growth than even in the non-treated tumors. So normally, the reaction would be the patient didn't respond to the drug, but actually the patient responded to the drug, but in an opposite manner than what we expected. By the same token, for the toxicity models, we do just the same. And here is a granulopoiesis model for neutropenia toxicity, where we model the process from stem cells through the different bone marrow compartment through blood. And importantly, the important feedback molecules in this process is GCSF, and we model its interaction with the different levels of development of granulopoiesis. And here again, you can see that if you want to know the long-term effect of a drug which is cytotoxic to this process, then you very much want to model its effect, let's say, on early progenitors as well as its effect on late progenitors, because we can see that in the short term, the drug may cause, let's say, grade 2 neutropenia, but in the long range, because it has an effect which accumulates on early progenitors, in after a certain number of cycles, you'll see that neutropenia, typically you see that actually, that neutropenia increased and became 4 grade neutropenia. By modeling this process and the interaction with the drug, with the whole developmental process, you can retrieve, you can predict the long-term toxicity of the drug actually from the start. So by integrating the pharmacokinetic and pharmacodynamics into the disease model, we can simulate certain treatment schedules and predict what will be the effect of this treatment schedule on drug efficacy. And the same for toxicity, what will be the toxicity of a certain drug schedule or another. But the highlight of this technology is actually the combination of toxicity models and efficacy models, which enabled us to develop the module, which is the treatment optimization module, answering before actually the clinical trial began, what the question of what will be the optimal treatment regimen for a drug or drug combination in question, so as to, in short, maximize efficacy toxicity thresholds, but actually answering a whole list of constraints given by the drug developer. So you may say, well, that looks, I hope to say, that looks very nice, but is it validated? And the answer, yes. The technology has been validated in a very long series of preclinical and clinical trials on the separated modules and on the virtual patient as a whole. And here I'll just briefly mention that's a Cancer Research UK press release from a couple of years ago, actually taking pride in our Optimata virtual cancer patient being able to predict response, non-response in 70% of the patient treated in Nottingham City Hospital by its breast cancer by docetaxel. And we were able to improve this prediction to 0.79%. But I'll say a few words more about the toxicity validation. So typically, the validation went as follows. We received from Nottingham City Hospital initial information, actually whole blood counts and other clinical data from a group of patients, which was divided into a training set and a validation set. So a training set is used to retrieve biological and drug response parameters so as to build the distribution of parameters in the whole population. So from that point, the message that you get is that our virtual population of patients reflected the population of patients, it's breast cancer, metastatic breast cancer patients in Nottingham City Hospital. However, the validation set included patients both from Nottingham City Hospital as well as Soroka University Medical Center in Israel. It's a desert hospital, and the patient population are human beings, but very different population than that of Nottingham City Hospital, where the training set was actually developed. And we got initial information about the patients as well as the treatment program, and we predicted the toxicity of that particular docetaxel treatment in individual patients. And in the next panel, I'll show you examples from four patients from Soroka Hospital. So it's a different patient population. You can see here plates of four patients. The observed neutrophil count is presented in circles, whereas the lines present our prediction. And focus on the nadir, which was our target, and appreciate how precise both the level of nadir as well as the timing of nadir is, and recall that it's a different patient population than the one that was represented in the model. And just to underline it, the point is that our precision in predicting the timing of nadir has a correlation coefficient of 0.99, and our precision in predicting grade 3 or 4 neutropenia was 81% of the patient. So just to give you an idea of how this can be used, look at this calculator that we developed, and actually we offer online, that is in the on the internet, free to a selection of clinicians. So here you can see on the top panel the input data of the patient, the neutrophil baselines, and the intention of overall treatment duration. On the left, you see the decision of the doctor about this interface is for docetaxel, the overall dose to be used, and whether to use it in a 3-weekly regimen, b-weekly regimen, or a weekly regimen. If it is elected to use also a supportive treatment of GCSF, then the onset time of GCSF following the chemotherapy can be chosen, as well as the dose and the number of days of GCSF to be applied. And then the output will be the expected neutropenia over the whole treatment and per typical cycle, and these are not the same, and it should be discriminated, the distinguished being, and the expected neutropenia for a 3-weekly cycle, b-weekly or a weekly cycle, so that we can compare, actually the clinician can compare different regimen of the same total dose as to the toxicity expected to occur to the particular patient. So let's see how it works and if it works. Yes, and it will be quickly. So first, the baseline count is input, and then the length of the treatment the doctor wished to carry out, and then the docetaxel, whether to apply it 3-weekly, b-weekly, and in a once-weekly regimen, and the total dose over 3 weeks, and here we choose 100 milligrams per square meter, and we don't use GCSF first, and we, okay, so look quickly on the, or not quickly, what's the expected neutropenia, and you can see that in 3-weekly and b-weekly regimen, you expect grade 4 neutropenia in the 3-weekly for 27 days. Very bad. And you have additional information about it. Okay, so now you decide to add GCSF, and the computer tells you what's the best GCSF regimen, and it tells you that for the 3-weekly, apply GCSF 7 days for post-treatment, 300 milligram. And for 3 days, and 6 days for B weekly. And what you get is grade 4 neutropenia, but on shorter duration, and grade 3 for B weekly. And the 6 and 7 days is very important. And here I just give you an example. If we choose to do it only 1 day post chemo, then we'll get worse results. And look that we get in the 3-weekly regimen, neutropenia is for 20 days, worse than if you do it 7 days after treatment, etc. So in other words, what this can enable you is to cleverly select the treatment schedule based on the mathematical models that are embedded in the virtual patient. And you, I think you can get the impression of how nuanced your decision can be. I'll just very quickly go, so I'll wrap up by a test case. The article has been published actually this month, 3 weeks ago in Cancer Research, so anyone who is interested can read all the details. So we are talking about using the virtual patient for a treatment personalization method by combining it with tumor xenografts. And we, in this test case, we discuss a case of a man who had a mesenchymal chondrosarcoma. And this is a dreadful disease. It's a rare disease, very little information. And usually it follows an aggressive course with very little possibilities of cure. This patient had his primary tumor was resected, but immediately after, multiple new metastases appeared, and actually it was a very aggressive, progressive disease. So he underwent very aggressive chemotherapy by several chemo drugs as well as biological drugs, and that was very bad because the disease was still progressive. However, now he had severe myelosuppression with pancytopenia, and he was in his prognosis was dreadful. He was he had 6 weeks prognosis, and we were called in. And in brief, what was done? Lung metastasis. Actually, one lung metastasis was biopsied. It was xenografted. It was grown in vitro and xenografted into many mice. Those were treated by many monotherapies and combo therapies, many regimens of drugs on market and drugs in development. And our virtual patient actually implemented the details of the xenograft to be able to predict what will happen to those mice, where each one of them treated by a different drug schedule and drugs and drug schedules. And when it was validated to be accurate, then the model was upscaled to the patient, to the real patient, and we predicted the best treatment for the individual patient. So very briefly, this is an example of our predictions. You see on here the drug drug combinations and the drug regimen, the dose, the route of administration, and the schedule. In this column, you see the our predicted TGI, tumor growth inhibition. And on this column, you see the, actually it was prospective, so it took some time to obtain the real life effects on the xenograft. And you see that our accuracy was 87.2%, which is considered as very high. So in brief, our prediction about toxicity, I already alluded to. We believed also for this patient that neutropenia and thrombocytopenia will be better, will be alleviated even if the chemotherapeutic drug, docetaxel in this case, will be applied once weekly rather than every 3 weeks. And here, and the question is, what about efficacy? And we checked the virtual patient, the virtual mesenchymal chondrosarcoma patient in our computer, and we saw that once weekly regimen for whatever the drug dose is will be a better, I don't know, whatever, for those we tried, will be better than the three-weekly regimen, and therefore we recommended to use the for this patient a combination of docetaxel and bevacizumab in a very specific protocol, which for docetaxel meant once weekly a smaller dose of docetaxel, and the weekly docetaxel in that patient resulted in disease stabilization for the first time after a very long time, and relief of pancytopenia, which was really remarkable, I have to say. And we went on and studied this effect on efficacy, and our conclusion is that the advantage of weekly docetaxel on the three-weekly regimen is directly related to the tumor angiogenesis rate in the patient. Actually, we came forward with biomarkers for angiogenesis rate. It's actually rate of angiogenesis, which we think is important to know if you are to select the exact or the best drug regimen for the individual patient. So to sum up, virtual patient technology formalizes complex drug-patient interactions, and successful validation of this technology enable it to be employed for identifying improved regimens and indication for drugs in question. A successful treatment personalization endeavor improves patient survival and quality of life. And once weekly docetaxel inflicts significantly lower neutropenia, G-CSF should be applied 6 days post-chemo in the once weekly regimen, and not so in other dosing intervals for this drug. Because for the B-weekly, for example, we believe that another dosing interval is better, whereas some others can be bad. Once weekly docetaxel is more efficacious for patients with intense angiogenesis. Thank you very much.